You're listening to Beyond 1894, a podcast dedicated to updating you on research, innovation, and campus life happening at Louisiana Tech University.
Thank you for listening to us today on this special episode of Beyond 1894. We will be discussing the conference tournament that just ended, as well as the upcoming Ruston Regional for the NCAA baseball tournament. I'm going to be kind of leading things off. My name's Tom Soto. With me, I'm going to go around the table and hand it off to Teddy Allen.
You bet. This is Teddy. Glad to be with you.
This is Gavin Kelly, social media strategist here in the communications office.
And Gabrielle Crockett, also in the Office of University Communications.
Holla.
We've also got our videographer in here, an audio engineer, Carter Carroll. He's waving to the microphones.
The audio engineer, and he's coincidentally not mic'd up. So.
That's right.
We did plan to tell you about a lot of stuff happening in Ruston this weekend.
I mean, it's jam-packed.
Hit some of the high points. We're going to come back to baseball because Tech historically is hosting its first ever NCAA baseball regional. It's a huge, huge thing for the school, and we can maybe talk a little bit about the last weekend's significance in the hosting the conference tournament. And by the way, the last time Tech hosted the conference tournament, the winner won the College World Series, and that was Fresno State.
Whoa.
And for some of y'all with long memories, Louisiana Tech hosted the tournament. Howard did not participate in it because he did not qualify.
I remember that.
It was a sore spot. So good luck to Old Dominion, who won the tournament. They're a scrappy bunch. They've been here for a week or more. And so good luck to them out east in their tournament. But better luck to the Bulldogs, who will be playing against Rider, NC State, which I think is second in American home runs, and Alabama, which had a really good run late to get in the tournament. But besides the baseball, Gabby, it's a historic weekend in another way.
It sure is, Teddy. We are in Ruston are known for our annual Peach Festival. This summer marks the 71st annual Peach Festival. We'll be rocking it this week, all week long. We are touching with the Peach Restaurant Week, where every restaurant in Ruston gives their slice and flavor of something special with our peaches. You have a peachy sidewalk sale with local vendors in town, and especially in historic downtown Ruston. You have a new music festival on the bayou on the this Friday, Ruston Farmers Market Saturday morning, and of course the festival all week and long.
Sweetness.
It's great. The Peach Festival is quite literally one of the best ways to get a taste of Ruston and what Ruston has to offer.
Oh, 100%.
I see what you did there.
Yeah,
you
like that?
It's definitely sweetness. I'm thinking of peach cobbler and peach ice cream right now. So,
well, and you also get some sweet beats, too. You have live music downtown, and you just get your own little slice of the pie and enjoy a full weekend for the family.
Yeah, and downtown's a really cool place. So lots of nice places to eat and shop and hang out and meet new people and see people you've known for a long time and get to know the town and the place and the people. And
there'll be plenty of people to meet because you also have a softball tournament going on with how many 40-something teams?
43 teams is what their website's currently saying.
And 30-something of those are from out of town, so hotel. It's like back in the day when we only had two hotels and they were seldom full, but lots of places to stay now, but if there's ever a chance that it'll be jammed, it'll be this weekend.
Yeah, lots of people from lots of different places coming out. So we're hopefully Ruston's showing off for everyone this weekend because we do have a lot to show off. So
plenty of bike trails if you're into that kind of thing. Water, golf, all kinds of stuff to do.
Absolutely.
Y'all are young people with the energy to do it, Gavin. Gavin, so can you think of anything else?
The Peach Art exhibit is also going on this weekend.
There's a lot of art in general at the Peach Festival.
That's right.
Lots of stalls and exhibits and displays for everybody to come see. And it's not all just paintings of peaches, by the way.
And Cruise Campus. If you hadn't been to campus for a while, you'll be floored. Is that the right word? Floored.
Yeah, that's a good word.
You'll be astounded.
Might even be an understatement.
It probably is. And try to get to the ballpark. And if you can't go to a game, if you want to go to a game, 257-3631, or go to latexsports.com/tickets. It is a fascinating piece of property. It's always been a wonderful place to have a ballpark. But we could never have hosted a regional, the school could not have, without the tornado, unless we were going to tear it down and you know, somehow magically find the money to do it. But it's a $24 million place. Mississippi State, I think it's Mississippi State, is fixing to add on to their ballpark. No, that's wrong. It's not State. It's University of Texas, I think. Anyway, they're going to – it's a $30 million renovation. So it's a renovate. Wow. And still, this place at $24 million is a fascinating ballpark, and everybody that's come through has just raved about it. So I hope you get to go see it. And I hope you'll get to see some ball. The games are going to be at 1-6, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And go to LaTexSports.com. They'll keep you up to speed.
Outstanding. You know, you were talking about how we've got some people on the episode here that young and have energy. Gavin, tell us a little bit about last week when you were the PA for the game, and we're up till late in the night.
It was very late. I was fortunate enough to be able to do public address at the Love Shack for the final game on, I guess,
Wednesday.
Technically it was Thursday because the first pitch was after midnight, and that game went until 3:15, 3:30 in the morning. So it was a late night for everyone, and I know a lot of those athletics folks had to turn around and do it again, get up at 5 a.m. and get back after it, and it was like that for them all weekend. So I know there was a lot of pressure on Louisiana Tech and Ruston to host a good conference tournament, and I think it turned out pretty great.
I can say from experience going to the game this weekend, or all the several games this weekend, that it was an awesome experience. Watching the comeback, you know, come from behind wins against Southern Miss, and hanging out in the tents, talking with everybody down there. The atmosphere was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was a fabulous time. And besides the park and the crowd and everybody, you know, in kind of a post-pandemic, unrestrained joy kind of a feeling about being able to be out again, there was great baseball. The Bulldogs, if you had a ticket for Tech, if you're a Tech fan, you had more fun than anybody, because you got six games, four walk-off wins, two wins in extra innings, three wins by a run, and that includes two comeback wins over Southern Miss to avoid elimination. That's your arch rival. And so that Saturday with those two games was about as sweet as it gets. You're down 8-0 in the first game, looking a little bit bleak. But up in one of the suites, Dr. Les Geis, president of the university, slyly turned his rally cap, or turned
sure
his ball
did.
Cap
it
around.
Worked.
So worked. They never knew what hit him.
No.
It was over right at that point.
Just blindsided.
Yeah. He's kind of, you know, showing off a little Morehouse Parish backward hat looking. And here come the Dogs. They win it 11-10, and then win the second game. 6-5, all kind of runs together. But wonderful baseball. And then even in the championship game, the Bulldogs, you know, hit a homer, Parker Bates did, in the bottom of the ninth to tie it. And the head coach, Lane Burroughs, said later, I just started laughing. He said, when I saw a ball leave the park, I just started laughing. Because I said, well, sure, why not? Now we're going to win. And he still thought we were going to win until the very last batter, Hunter Wells, who you want up there, grounded out. But it didn't really feel like a loss, like losses usually feel, the fella said, because you know you're going to play next week, and you just finished a spectacular run, and you beat your arch rival twice. Mm-hmm. Big comeback, just heartbreaking, gut-wrenching losses for those guys, as the Clarion Ledger stated the next day in the newspaper, long ride home. But that's what you want. Is that's what that weekend may have been. I think just one of the most significant, if not the most significant, athletic weekend in Tech history. And that's because even though you've won Final Fours and gone to the Sweet 16, a lot of Gulf States championships and Southland championships, WAC titles, tons of track and field titles, this happened here. And Ruston people got to be a part of it. And there were 3,500 people. You know, announced attendance is something, 2,400 or something. But with the Love Bugs in left and just scragglers sneaking in, and there had to be more than 3,000 people there.
Yeah, I would say so. And it's tough. The outfield berm area is always packed, and you got those that apartment area over there too. So people are always in the outfield. They're always inside the stadium. The tent area on the side. I mean, it's it always seemed full before, the old Love Shack, you know, and now it's like just on a much bigger scale. It's much more impressive.
There's all kind of places to lean, to stand, put food on little trays. It's just, there's plenty of bathrooms. There was one in the old.
That's true.
I remember that. Then they built the second one.
Yep.
And now, I mean, when you, in the old Love Shack, when you had to go to the concession stand, you had to go outside of the stadium.
Down and out, yeah.
Down and out and get your food and then come back in, and you would miss whatever. And now you can sit there and, as you're ordering, still turn around and watch the game. It's outstanding. It's great atmosphere.
With the wide, wide concourse, I mean, it just makes all – it makes all the diff. So, plus, administration and staff did, you know, working overtime as they performed like the baseball team did. I mean, they had to make a good showing, and they did.
Absolutely.
And 2 hours after the tournament ends, you find out you're hosting a regional, which has never been done before.
Got to do it.
Sweet.
Yeah, got to do it bigger and better. You know, you just you get done with one tournament and then one that's equally, if not more, significant on a nationwide scale, you know. Is right after it. So.
Yeah. So here we go again. The hits keep coming.
No rest for the weary.
As they say.
No rest for the weary.
Plenty to do this weekend. And so I hope all y'all can come be a part of it again. Cruise campus. Look up in the suites if you're at the ball game to see if you see Dr. Geis with his hat on backwards. If he is, then calm down. Everything's going to be fine. What else we got, gang?
Let's. So, Teddy, how did we – why don't you tell everybody that maybe doesn't know how we came with this new – or how we got this new park? I know you mentioned about how much it cost to build and, you know, the tornado. But give us a little bit of rundown on the past or the previous J.C. Love Field and compare it to the new stadium.
You know, for the longest time, there was a concrete wall up there was kind of the press box. And then eventually they closed that in. Now, in 71 is a heck of a venue, and you always had the choo-choo trains in the outfield. I mean, it's a great spot.
The rally train.
The rally train. There used to be an old house out in center field. And then as time went along and the dorm apartments came, it was a very nice place to play. But you don't have enough bathrooms. You don't have a concourse. You don't have anything to host. I mean, the NCAA is going to look at that and say, we're supposed to bring 300 teams in here for this, and it's just not going to happen. Y'all have a nice place for us to hope you enjoy it, but where are you going to put media, TV? What are you going to do with
that? No accessibility, no elevators, and things like that.
Zero.
You didn't have a handrail if you were older to get up to
true.
The top.
That's true.
So it's probably some sort of lawsuit in there waiting to happen. I don't know. And heaven forbid the tornado came through late April. It's weird, had the team who played at McNeese that night come back instead of going west to play, I think, Rice, they would have got back to the ballpark about the same time of the tornado. Mm. So somehow Providence was looking out after everybody. And then that allowed, some people call it FEMA Stadium, by the way, our new park. Anyway, that just threw a ton of people working together. If you think about it, 2 years ago, right now, they still haven't even cleaned anything up out there. The state couldn't pay.
That's right.
If you want to go out there and mow grass or something, that's fine, but it's your money. So we had to wait till everything got squared up. Between FEMA and insurance, architects, engineers, to start building it, which was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to see the ballpark being built, which we have pictures of, which we can find at LaTeX.edu somewhere, LaTeXSports.com. There's anyway, it's what do you call it when you take a picture every
day? A time lapse. Yeah, I know the athletics website, LaTeX Sports. They did the whole project. They had a video camera.
The whole project
on both parks.
And so now you've got, I mean, if you go up there now, you got room for riders. You got a broadcast TV room that's plenty big that was used this weekend, of course. There's four suites up there, which is nice. There's bathrooms up there. There's elevators. There's home and away radio booths, and then there's all kind of different places to sit, as y'all were saying, whether it's the berms or extended seating down right field line. There's the tents down, I mean left field line, the tents down the right field line. The berm over the first base dugout right now, mostly grown-ups are sitting there because of the tournament, but in theory, you want students to end up sitting there so they can give the business to the visiting team
in a
nice competitive way. The same thing with the berm and right is you just want to just wear the right fielder out in Christian love, you know, you don't want to throw a battery or anything. It's be cool.
Right.
But yeah. It's a great play, and you know, and the players love it too, and they feel it. The Golden Eagles got a little irritated this weekend, as you would in a competitive situation.
Yes, they did.
And Tom heard some of the comments down where all the tents are and people are barbecuing, and if you want to go stand in the shade for a while, the concourse is so big that you can do that. Again, all kind of places, Delane, get something from the concession stand, and you can stand there on the concourse, put it on a little, you know, they have essentially a long table that you can stand, put your food there and watch the game. It's everybody that have been – well, who was telling me? Coach Burrows was telling me somebody took their wife there, and they won't – you know, it's 8-0, and she said – but this against Ole Miss Southern Miss Saturday, the fifth inning, bad guys are leading 8-0. She said, how much longer is this going to last? Can we go? And then they start coming back. Oh, it's Sean Fox, who's on the radio, Sports Radio, our buddy Sean. And then his wife, they started coming back, and she understood. And then she said, when can we come back to another game? And that's how it is with most everybody I've heard. I mean, Lane says – when Arkansas came and Ole Miss came, the third baseman would look at him when he's standing in the coaching box, and they'd say, "Coach, man, y'all got it going on." And that was before you could have 100% people in the
yeah, really, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really has made a difference. And I tell you, at left field, where like the Love Bugs sit and those apartments, and that's not a part of the stadium.
Right.
But it's really as much a part of the stadium as the pitching mound, if you think of it. And what that just brings a whole new – It's 3D-ish because people are on three levels. Mm-hmm. And at night, the lights are on. They're sitting in folding chairs. They're sitting on retaining walls, steps, on those balconies. It's a good, solid time for everybody.
It was. This was our – Saturday was the second time for us to come over. I live over in Bossier, and, you know, make the drive over for an hour with a six-year-old and – my wife, who's pregnant, you know, that hasn't been able to happen throughout this season. And but Saturday we got our daughter over here, and she, as the day went on, you would think, you know, a six-year-old is going to get cranky, and by the end of the day, she said, you know, "Dad, I want to come back tomorrow. I just need to bring extra clothes and some earmuffs because it was a little loud."
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
Good.
So
loud's good.
We came back Sunday, and she yelled her heart out and wore her earmuffs. And
it's so amazing your precious wife didn't give birth Saturday with all those goings on. The coach almost said he's not even pregnant that I know of. They were all exhausted. Till after the game, you know, even the coach said, "What just happened?" It's so much stuff went on.
Yes.
Colors and sounds. And
Surprised there weren't any heart attacks Saturday either.
Yeah. So Gavin up in the
thank
our gang running the booth up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard nothing but compliments, and I mean, including from the coaching staff and the players. You know who all's up there better than me, but what a job they've done since game one, when they didn't know they were supposed to be there before the game. You know, to start
right.
playing music and all that, yeah. And immediately they caught on, and they're rocking it.
Yeah, it's like I said, they were running on little to no sleep, mm-hmm. in most cases, and having to treat every game with equal, you know, respect and care and attention, because it's, you know, you don't just work the tech games, we're hosting the tournament, so everyone who plays in every game, you got to treat each game like, you know, like it's that important. So yeah, kudos to them for sure.
Yeah, they have kept everybody in it. And your parents came, Gabby. They don't know, like, any tech
Yeah,
player.
No, they did. We unfortunately were out of town, and we were watching we were there at the Old Dominion games right before the start of the conference tournament. I've been thankful. Unfortunately, I saw a heartbreaking loss with a fantastic fantastic catch from their pitcher. But I've also had the opportunity to watch, you know, our dogs have a 10-run rule. And so it's been great to see bookends of the spectrum of the magic that is at the Love Shack. And one question I really have for the three of you, each of you have had connections from the press box to the sideline. What does it really mean to you, especially from the devastating tragedy that came with the tornado? What does it mean to continue that magic going into this historic event this weekend?
I'll go first, and I know we need to wrap this up, but to me, seeing how everybody worked together, architects, engineers, the guys who went and looked at other stadiums and decided what we're going to do here. Everybody working together to make this happen. I mean, if you looked at it a year ago, it's just ridiculous that teamwork was able to pull it off. Then the six seniors who stuck around, some of them could have gone and played ball. Some of them could have said, okay, that's a career, but they didn't. Now, it's a first world problem. They're not starving or anything, but if you are a college baseball player, you expect to have a locker room and a field. And they didn't have that. So you go to Ruston High and you share with them, you practice on field B7, you're trying to play Division I baseball. And for them to go through all that, then COVID knocked out your season last year after 17 games. So they really have been through a special circumstance. And then to turn out to play so good. They love being with each other, and they're so grateful for this ballpark and for all the fans that have been coming to watch them play. I mean, to a man, they're all just having the time of their lives, and I think you can tell by the way they're playing. Baseball's a funny game. I hope they do well this weekend, obviously, because, you root for people you know. And like and care about, but all of that has meshed together to make a little extra, to use your word, magic. It's fun to watch.
It is. I think the ballpark, the stadium on its own, is an incredible story, and then the team on its own is an incredible story.
Yep.
And
absolutely,
the fact that they are intertwined right now, and the things are going the way they're going, just makes it even more special, more magical, again, to borrow your word.
Another layer is the city of Ruston, who's getting to enjoy it and has come out to support and was here through all of it. And the stadium's right there, so everybody can see it throughout the last 2 years, what's gone on and what's happened. And now to be hosting a regional is a big, just huge for the school. It's huge.
It's historic. I mean, last weekend it was big for me, being able to spend that time with my wife and daughter. I've watched my nieces and nephews grow up cheering on the Bulldogs at the ballpark. So being able to spend that time with my daughter and see her excitement, that was very special. So with this historic weekend, I have a question for all of y'all. What's your most memorable moment at J.C. Love Field, either the old stadium or the new stadium?
100 years ago, we would sit on folding chairs on top of the first base dugout, where Tech was back then. It's where we watched the games. They won't let you do that anymore. It kind of hurts my feelings. But just pick one from this weekend. Looking at these guys' reaction probably after Saturday, and Lane said the next morning he's in his kitchen, he takes a shower, he goes in there and gets a little breakfast, and he just started crying in his kitchen. You're so exhausted when you get home and everything, and then you get up the next morning and you go, wow, that really happened, and all those people were there to see it. Really, the first night in the shack, they played Southern. And to see those people come out in left field and those lights come on when nobody could get in the stadium, but they could sit in right and left. I think it was Manny Garcia hit a home run to the other night late. And a little kid, there was 400 or 500 people in right field, and he got the ball and he was just running, just doing wind sprints 20 yards this way and 20 back, which is which is cool. It's neat. And not getting hit by a train, that was even more awesome. There's a fence out there, thank goodness.
Yes.
Anyway, more memories to come.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to play a few roles throughout the very, very recent history of the ballpark. And I, when I was working over in the athletics department and had to work at every game for a couple seasons there that we played at home, and a lot of the same teams. So, and then being still able to go back and help athletics out with some stuff and do some PA. And so I think when I was doing PA, even at that late game, even at 2:30 in the morning when everybody's all out of gas, sitting there and thinking about sitting in the old press box just 3 years ago, and how far everyone and everything has come, the team, the park, the university, the city, and it just, you can't have been in the old park and go into the new one without the impact being immediately evident, without reflecting on how much has changed. And at the same, it, like, it seems like it's been so long, and at the same time, it seems like it has been no time at all. So for a specific memory, I there's been too many, but I think just being able to reflect on it has been the coolest thing for me, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even like you said, I know for me, I have a favorite memory probably back in undergrad, long before the brand new berms, and just waiting for the rally train to come on through, but sitting in right field and just getting to know maybe friends that, you know, classmates that you just finished your evening class and you're like, oh yeah, there's a baseball game. Let's go to the shack, and getting to cheer on the dogs. But nothing was more magical than the first time sitting in the brand new stadium and just taking it all in. I mean, even at the grand opening, and just feeling the energy and just the impact, like Gavin said, kind of wash over you of look at all that's happened and the excitement and anticipation for what's to come.
I've got a lot of memories. You know, it was the day of the tornado when I got into town. It was kind of heartbreaking because I look up there and think about all the years that we spent watching my brother play. This weekend, watching those two come from behind wins reminded me of another team we played from Mississippi in 2006, where we came from behind in the ninth, scored 7 runs to beat Mississippi State.
Holy moly.
That was one of the, among all the memorable moments, you know, that one stood out to me this weekend after those come from behind. I remember me and my dad, we were grilling for the teams. It was the old stadium, and it was on the, you know, third baseline where the bullpen was. There was a grill out there. We were grilling for the teams. And we had a student at the time who would dress up as a gorilla, and Joseph McMahon, he would hold a sign up. Well, he would write on this little – it was a whiteboard. And as fans were leaving the stadium, he had the sign, and it said, "You're going to miss the comeback." And you know, he wasn't wrong. They missed the comeback. And there were fans that had left the game that actually started coming back. We scored 7 runs in the bottom of the ninth to beat Mississippi State, ranked, according to our stats, they were ranked number 3 at the time. So I think we're ready to close it up. So, I mean, talking about all these memories, why don't you, try and get some tickets, come out to the game this weekend, watch, number 1 seed Tech play the Rider University Bronx, number 4 seed. You can also watch number 2 seed NC State take on number 3 seed Alabama. Come out and make some memories yourself. Anybody else have anything for closing?
See you at the ballpark. Let's go to the Love Shack.
Let's go.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Beyond 1894. Please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information about this episode, check out our show notes. Beyond 1894 is produced by Louisiana Tech University's Office of University Communications.